But when your parents are walking with the Lord, obey them. Do what they say and how they say it, because this is what is going to keep you safe. To understand, young person here, teenager, young adult, this is the hardest time of your life. They tell you this is the greatest time of your life, and I don't buy that. There's so many things pressing against you. Peer pressure right now is at an all-time sick. There's nothing worse. Dean was telling stories. I'm going to have him tell a couple of stories next week about some things that he's dealt with just in the last week when it comes to a girl, a young 17-year-old girl who walked right in forward into a train, and a kid who just hung himself, 15 years old. And we'll tell you what's going on in the world around you and why it's so important to maintain these things. But we're going to stick to next week. I just in case there's somebody that's here today that's not going to be here next week, I realize it's a tough time for you. And I realize that right now especially, you're like, man, you think your parents don't know what they're doing. You are not obligated, young adult, to follow your parents down a path of sin. Some of you, you know, there are a couple of kids here and their parents don't walk with the Lord. And it's very frustrating to you because you almost take the role of adult in the relationship. It's a crazy thing. I know a lot of kids who from the time they're 12, 13 years old, they assume the role of adult. And then the parent assumes the role of a kid because of drug, alcohol, you know, whatever is going on in their life. We're going to address more of that next week. Just know you're not alone, and just know it's right to obey your parents in the Lord. Look at verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. That word for fathers there is an interesting word. There's two types of words in the Greek. One that says fathers, that actually means mother and father, and one that means father, which means, in the Greek word is pater, or like pater, which is literally father. So this is that word, literally father, dad. This is incumbent upon you. This is your responsibility. This comes with the authority from the word of God. This comes with the authority from God. Do not provoke your children to wrath. The wording there is really weird. What it's basically saying is, don't sit back and do nothing. If you shut down on your family and you do nothing, and you can blame your wife, you can blame your kids, you can blame your job, you can blame whatever it is that you are lacking in your life, and it's only going to be an excuse you're going to give to God and to nobody else. To provoke your children to wrath. Now, let me explain to you the exact verbiage. Don't drag your kids to hell with you. Did you hear that? But, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Training and admonition. Now, what does that mean? Those are two very interesting words that literally mean the same thing, but from a different, one's a noun, one's a verb. Both are verbs, but one is more of an action and one is more of a word. Let me explain it to you. The word training means correction indeed. Correction indeed. That means don't just tell them they're going to get beat up. Spank them. The other one is word. That means to give them why. Now, that brings us to the obvious point in Scripture of spanking. Big thing with everybody. I don't spank my kids. I do spank my kids. I don't believe in that. My father spanked me. My mother did this. You have all the reasons and all the excuses of why you have a strong opinion on that. I will destroy your opinion today and only tell you what the Bible says. Because I don't care what your opinion is, and I'm going to tell you why I say that so strongly, because my own opinion was wrong. I was never going to hit my kids. My father spanked me. And he gave me and my brother, you know, black eyes and bruises and you know, and these things like that. And then when I met my wife and we had a child, and she spanked, you're not spanking that kid. My vision of spanking was not spanking. It was abuse. And there's a big difference between spanking your kid in a biblical manner, which is good and right, and abusing your child. My father was big on backhands. That was my father. You'd be sitting there and you'd say something he didn't like, and with inconsistencies, and you'd get that. My father always wore a big old pinky ring and bust your lip open like, son of a. Now, for you, some of you guys, it's like, oh, that's terrible. I'm so sorry. Listen, it made me tough as nails. I remember the first street fight I got into, and I was like, that's what you got? My brother hits me harder than that. You got a problem right now. Now, yeah, I don't want that to come out sounding bragging. It's just the way it is. But we're going to go through that. Do you have that list up there? Let's talk about, first of all, what kids are before we get to this. Now, the reason I brought my wife in is when I start to get to my own commentary, I unlike most weeks, I don't usually make notes. I come up here and I try to be spirit-led. But I wanted to write a bunch of stuff down so that I can share my experiences with you. And now I want you not to be intimidated. We didn't plan this. My wife had no idea I was going to bring her up here until this morning. So I want you to feel free. That's why I got you mic'd up, to interject at any point. You're not going to worry about interrupting me. Oh, Ryan, let me get. Don't be weird about it. I want you to speak up when you want. Okay, I'm going to go through a few Bible verses, and then it's going to end up in exactly where we just left off scripturally speaking. So number one, Jeremiah 1, 4, and 5 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." So that is the Lord Jesus. That is the Father God speaking to Jeremiah the prophet. But what he's doing is laying down the argument against abortion in every shape and form. There is no such thing as life begins at birth. Life begins at conception. Life begins when God says it begins. And any child that is in the womb, that is being formed, whether he's being formed perfectly or imperfectly, whether it has two arms, two legs, whether it has spina bifida, cancer, or anything else, this is what God has called us to do. And if it is our own comfort, now you can leave it up there. If it's our own comfort that stops us from bringing a pregnancy to full term, then shame on us. Now, please understand, for you that are new to this church, I've been a part of 5 abortions in my life. 4 of them were my own children. I am not judging you. There is forgiveness in God. There is forgiveness in Christ. Truly, we've all made mistakes and made foolish choices. But those choices are over now. And God is a God of forgiveness. Stop carrying around the weight of foolish choices of yesterday. Walk forward in newness of life. Allow God's forgiveness to fall upon you. And now see things that you can share with others. Because God is going to put people across your path. A friend of mine came to my shop just on Friday. Remember Don Kay? That used to work for us at the store years ago. Him and his wife, Diana, they were dating at the time, and he got her pregnant, and he came to me. He's like, man, I don't have the money. And I was like, listen, you're going to have that child. So I don't want to hear this nonsense. I've been where you're at. Nothing kept me away from God longer or further than knowing that if I came to God, he would reveal and he would know the things that I did. Number one on my list wasn't the people I beat up or the people I robbed. It was those kids that I aborted that had no reason to be aborted. They didn't do nothing, except it was uncomfortable for me. One of my girlfriends, I want to stay in high school. Like, you know what I mean? This stupid mentality we had. He brought his daughter with him, and now she's like 21 years old, and he looked at me, and I was like, and I hadn't seen her in more than 10 years. I was like, hallelujah. That kid wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for me having an abortion, knowing the pain that it had put upon my soul, and me telling Don, you're not going to do this. I'm telling you, bro, you'll regret it. And him changing, you're right, you're right, you're right. And it just was one of those confirmations of the thing that I wanted to teach with you today. But continuing, chapter 139 of the book of Psalms, verse 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Another promise from God that he's got your children. Now, why is this one so important? And I'm going to touch on it a little later. But guys, there's very little that you're going to do that's going to change the course of your children's lives. What does that mean? Listen to me. My youngest child is now 10 years old. My oldest child is now 31. I don't know if I've done any good. And I don't know how, I don't know how they love the Lord. I don't know. They're all in varying degrees of their stages of growth with the Lord and walking with the Lord and obedience to his. And when I'm sitting here and telling you, you want to know the secret? Here's the secret. Prayer. If you don't believe that God formed your children, and you don't believe that that prayer will change the direction of their lives at any stage, don't listen to anything else I say. It's a waste of time. Because I'm telling you right now, all the things I'm giving you, they're yours to do. These are the call of God upon your life. And here's the thing. My pastor used to say this, and I use this all the time because it's the best picture you should have in your brain. You're not writing their book, guys. You're writing your book. Your book has to say, did all you can do. Their book has to say everything else. You might do all these things that I tell you today, and your kid might not walk with the Lord. You might grow up like I grew up. I grew up in a house of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And somehow I'm walking with the Lord. How does this happen? All that we have to offer our kids is the grace of God. So I'm not, you could give God a hand, that's fine. But the hope is this, though, that you don't screw up so bad that it is your fault. If you bring pornography and drugs into the house, if you've taught your kids to be free spirits, I don't want to shove my religion down their throat, I'm going to let them make their own choices, that is an unbiblical stance. And then you do have yourself to blame for some things. No, there's always forgiveness in Christ. There's always starting over. There's always prayer that changes the destination and the trajectory of their lives, no matter how old they are. And everything is a testimony. Everything. Continuing. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. First thing I tell women when they tell me they're pregnant, I go, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because I know the vast majority of the women that I speak to these days about kids are teenage girls or young girls that are unwed, that are pregnant, and they don't know what they're going to do. And the first thing I do is start to rejoice. Oh, praise God. Oh, no, but what are you talking about? The fruit of the womb is a reward. You are pregnant because God is rewarding you. Yeah, but I slept with my boy. Stop that. What kind of God do you think you serve? Oh, I loved you right up until the time you slept with your boyfriend. Stop that. The fruit of the womb is a reward. You're being rewarded. And it changed their countenance, changed their attitude. Really? Absolutely. God rewarded me for having sex outside of marriage? No, God rewarded you because he loved you. And the reward is the change of your life, that you now get to raise one of his babies. Oh, what a difference that does. What a difference that changes. And brothers, you don't make your decision of how many kids you're going to have or how you're going to have kids based upon finances. You see, happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. If you wait till you can afford to have kids, you ain't never going to have kids.
That's true.
And remember this. if you've got stuck in that mentality, that elitist, and I used to say American mentality, but after a little travel, I realized it's not American at all. It's just this upper class mentality that thinks as long as my kids have the best of everything, they'll be happy. Until you see, I've been in Rio de Janeiro in the favela there, and to see these kids that don't have, as my dad used to say, you know what pot to piss in? They don't have nothing. Sorry. They don't have nothing, and they smile, and they're happy, and they're playing. And it's like, what did I miss here? What did I think? My kids needed PlayStation 3 to be happy? You know what I mean? And they don't. You know what they need to be happy? Say it. Jesus. Love. The love of God. Indeed. Continue. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Now that is a quote from Psalm 22, but that also happens to be a prophetic verse that the Lord Jesus spoke. This is a messianic psalm. So it's the Lord Jesus not only recognizing that he gave his life to God to become a baby, but also the confirmation that God gives children. You didn't make nothing. Dude, you ain't made nothing. And it's just reminding me, just watching my little Silas, just seeing his little, guys, I want you to not get, you know, we get weird because there's so many stinking kids around, right? But I want you to know this, that a man by himself can't do nothing. A woman by herself can't do nothing. But somehow when they get together and this intimate union happens, this thing goes on inside her tummy, and 9 months later, another human comes out.
It's incredible.
Now, I'm not trying to freak out to none of you young people here. If your mom and dad hasn't told you about the birds and the bees yet, then it's way, way, way past time, and you guys got to get on the ball on that stuff. But I don't want you to lose sight of how that's a miracle.
Yeah.
If you've never seen a child, my wife was telling me that.
Sorry, I'm too close to you.
When Silas was coming out, he was kind of like, the doctor said, this kid's going to crawl out of the womb himself. It's like, now she wouldn't let me in there because it's my daughter, but I remember when my son, I remember seeing the top of his head, and I was just like, it's mind-blowing. Now, you guys that don't have kids, listen to me, you have no idea what I'm talking about. There's nothing that will prepare you for the life-changing experience to see the child that you were given by God, that God used you to create, and you're just like, the love that pours out of your heart all of a sudden. You know the crazy thing about love, guys? This is the crazy thing about love. The more you keep it to yourself, the less you have. The more you give away, the more you have. Crazy. Go ahead. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, a lot of people use that verse to say that if you just teach a kid the Bible from when they're babies, that means they'll always come back to it. And I guess I could see a part of that there. But I think more than that, it's if you teach the child about the love of God when they're babies, when they're older, they'll always know where that can come back. And that's important. Your kid might not walk with the Lord for 30, 40 years of their life, but if you raise them to know that all they need to do is call on the name of the Lord and be saved, they'll always know where they can reach out to. And your job's done. You wrote your book. Next. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. Now, the reason I use that verse is, you see it says harsh discipline? That's a different word than the next verse. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. There's a difference between harsh discipline or abuse versus spanking. Spanking and abuse. Discipline, harsh discipline. If you hate your child, you will not spank them. Now, for some of you guys, especially with young kids, especially without kids, you're like, dude, my parents spank me. I'm never spanking my kid. I don't care what you tell me. I understand what you're saying now. But here's what happens 95% of the time. When you have a two-year-old, and that two-year-old, she or he, is pushing your buttons, testing the limits of the boundaries of your sanity, instead of waiting till they've crossed a line of demarcation that you should have set a long time ago, you wait till you're angry, and instead of spanking, you yell and scream like a lunatic banshee. You put them in the corner, face first. You give them a timeout. You, whatever you have replaced your spanking with, not realizing, you're doing worse than spanking. That is, to some form of emotional abuse, that's teaching the child nothing except, oh, I see how this works. When I get mad, that's when I emote. So all my emotion comes out once I'm angry, because that's what happened with my parents, because I pushed their button, and they didn't want to spank me. Now, we're going to deal with that. Continue. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temper, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? So, when choosing the elders of the church, we look at the elders of the church, the leadership of the church, and we say, okay, here is the role of a bishop, a pastor, an elder, not a deacon or a ministry leader, but an elder or a pastor. We say, is his children in submission? You notice it doesn't say that children have to be walking with the Lord, because you can't make your kids walk with the Lord. As a matter of fact, you can, and then they run away as soon as they can. But having them in submission, meaning, listen, if you have, and we'll deal with this more next week, if you have a teenager in your house and they've begun rebellion, my suggestion is always the same. Listen, there's a time to take your hands off and just love them, whatever path they choose. But here's what you never do. You never teach them to be separate in your own house. Hey, listen, buddy, you're 14 years old now, you're 15 years old now, you're 16 years old now. You can make your own choices, but here's the problem. In our house, we go to church on Sunday. And if you don't have enough respect for me and your mother to come to church with us for 2 hours, then I did something wrong. That is in submission. Not submission like I've beat them down and they're going to obey and listen. Teaching them that sacrificial love sometimes is the misery of having to go to church 2 hours a week. You know what I mean? It's so hard and so horrible. But they're living in your house. They're eating your food. The worst thing to do is to finance your child's demise. Don't pay for them to kill themselves and to wreck your family. Don't support them while they destroy themselves. Hey, buddy, this is what we do in our house. Now, I realize you don't want to walk with the Lord. For whatever reason I've done, so whoever poisoned your mind, it was probably me, because I've been a terrible example of a Christian myself. But I'm asking you right now to honor your mother and father by coming to church with us for a couple hours a week. And if you can't do that, then I'm going to have to take a different step here. You follow me, guys? This is important stuff. Next. Next. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Now, that is not just a possessive word, hates, but it's also an application word, hates. If you hate spanking your kid, you're stupid. If you hate receiving correction, you're stupid. If you don't like those words, take it up with God. Next. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Keep going. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. Keep going. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. That word for receives there just means hears. Just means hears. You know, my father died some years ago, and we didn't have like the greatest family relationship the last 15 or 20 years. But I gotta be honest with you. Sometimes I just wish I could sit and talk to him again. I mean, even the worst of fathers, and believe me, my father wasn't on the list of worst. Maybe he wasn't on the list top 10 of best, but he did what he could with what he had. I still miss talking to him, just to hear what he has to say. And half of what he said, I was like, okay, Dad, I won't be doing that ever. But just to receive it, you know, just to, come on, let's talk. Keep going. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Did you hear that? I guess that's one of the hardest ones for young parents to realize. Your kid's foolish. They think they're Bugs Bunny. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to beat stupidity out of them.
Oh, Lord.
Now, I'll go on to talk about what spanking is. Relax. Keep going. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Listen to me. The greatest thing as a father that I've ever done, if there's anything I've done right, and believe me when I tell you, there's been far more things that I've done wrong than right. The greatest thing I've ever done right is every single day my wife and children wake up to me reading and praying. I have strong confidence that I know that the plan for God's life, I'm sorry, the plan for my life that God has, I'm walking down. And that has given me strong confidence. It also has given my children, as they've grown older, my older kids, my 31-year-old, my 26-year-old, my 25-year-old, how old are you, Arlie? 25? They can call me 27?
We're on odds now. Never mind, doesn't matter. We have a lot of kids.
They call me up now and they go, hey, Dad, what do we do in this situation? What do we do in that? They have a place of refuge because their father was confidently strong knowing he was following the Lord. And their mother, of course. I don't want to forget that. Do you understand why that's important? This is one of the most important Bible verses, parent, you will ever be able to apply to your life. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. It almost sounds like contradictory to those that hate God's word, to those who do not like God. They'll say the fear. Why would I be afraid of God? Please, let's not deal with the reverence and the fear thing. It's not fear and trembling like, oh, I'm afraid of God. It's more of I'm afraid to hurt God's feelings. I'm afraid that God might think that I'm going to make him think he wasted his time by giving me what he has. It's more of that mental state. Mm-hmm. But I do wake up every day afraid that I'm going to screw up. I do. I wake up every day and get in the Word of God and in prayer because I'm afraid of screwing up. And in that fear of God is my confidence to know, today I spent an hour, I spent 2 hours, whatever it is I spent in the Word of God, I'm ready for my day. And my children have watched that over a period of long time, and now they can call me up and say, Dad, what do I do in this situation? What do I do in that situation? Where once they didn't. And now they grow old enough to receive that. Next, I think. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. The more integrity you have, the more your children will be blessed because they've watched you do what's right. And even in the worst of homes where things, illegalities are accepted, where we're doing the wrong thing is rewarded, integrity is what makes your children come back to you. Next. That's it. You can turn that off. I'm going to start reading, baby, and as I'm talking, if there's something you want to add. We have experienced four kinds of children in our lives. Even though we have six kids, our children seem to fall into these four different categories. Number one is the compliant, easy, obedient, and giving child. Stop pointing at her. Leave her alone. She's easy to raise. From the time she was born, she was a two-hour labor. She was an easy birth. Home the same day. The dedicated, diligent, overachiever, unstoppable, stubborn child. There is the strong, honest, emotional, independent, could go either way, kid. And then there was the difficult, rebellious, needy, self-pitying, always getting caught, but it's never his or her fault, kid. Those are the four kids that we've raised. You had anything there?
Creative dreamer type.
Yeah, I mean, I'm boiling things down into these categories. There's so much more. There's good and bads in all of them. I'm boiling it down to saying, you parents do not have some kid that doesn't exist in the realm of other people raising. One of the biggest tricks the enemy has is to tell you you're alone in this thing. Oh, but nobody gets me. Nobody gets me. Pastor Bob used to say this thing. I used to love it. If you don't have any kids, all the explaining in the world, you ain't going to listen. If you have kids, no explanation necessary.
That's true. I don't think
I'm worst advice we have ever been given. Think about the worst advice we've ever been given. We've had people tell us to take our children to Arlie Rose. You won't believe this. But she didn't start talking till she was 3 years old. And we were told you need to take it to a speech therapist. You need to take it to a psychoanalyst. You need to... People give us all advice. We had one child. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with that kid. You need to put her on medication. She needs to be on Ritalin or something like that. We've had advice. Don't adopt. I had somebody tell me one time, don't adopt kids. It's regret. You're just getting somebody else's problems. Don't do that. You're going to come to regret it. Oh, and then it was when we decided to homeschool, which was more than 20 years ago at this point. Don't homeschool. That's weird. People think you're weird. You'll mess your kids up. They won't have social interaction. This, I'm giving you some. Can you remember any some really bad advice people gave us? Somebody smack Frank in the back of the head next time he opens his mouth.
I think you're covering the big, vast majority of it. Yeah.
Do you remember any of the weirdest phases our kids went through? Hey, guys, now again, remember we're talking about toddlers. We're talking about youngins. Mm-hmm. Our kids all went through this crazy phase, and sometimes it lasts days, sometimes it lasts weeks, and you cannot explain to anybody. But all of a sudden, you'd be walking, you'll be in a store or something like that, and all of a sudden, they just go, ah! And you look at the child like, honey, is that normal? It's just a phase they'll go through. Well, I hope that doesn't last really long. That's really weird. How many of you guys can't go to a restaurant because your toddlers are so misbehaved? You can't take, you're afraid to go out in public, and you think that is the rest of your life. Remember, what other phases were there? The really weird phases.
Hitting.
Oh, my goodness. God.
Hitting other kids. Oh.
Anybody here think of?
Biting.
Stealing.
Yeah. Right.
Huh? Thief, huh? The little thief. They go through these. Tomorrow? Hiding and sneaking food.
Sneaking, yes.
Oh, my son went through a wonderful phase. From 2.5 to 3.5, he thought it was his job to throw every piece of electronic in the toilet or bathtub.
Yes.
Every cell phone, every cordless phone, every game.
Yes.
And you'd see him because you wouldn't see him, and then all of a sudden, all you'd see is elbows and heels. Don't you do nothing!
Yes.
I'm going to tell you what it did, though. It taught me how to buy warranties with all my electronics. I'm telling you, up till then, I was like, what a scam warranties is.
Testing you in public.
Testing you. Oh, that was a wonderful phase. When they decide that they know that you're not going to hit them in public.
Discipline them.
So in a restaurant, in a grocery store, in any place they go, they're going to let you know.
See what they can get away with.
Now, why am I using these things? Because I want you young parents to know. Listen, it's a phase. It'll pass. You don't got the worst kid in the world. Your life's not over. It's mm-hmm. going to come back to you. Mm-hmm. You want to add anything there?
Yeah, I mean, all the lying, breaking things. Yeah, yeah. Lying is a big, big one. Yeah, lying.
I touched on this, but let me read through this to you. How much influence do you really have over their future? The best of parents still have kids that do not walk with God. And the worst of parents have kids that do. We blame ourselves so much for our children's shortcomings and try to take credit for the successes. And honestly, as a parent of multiple children in all different stages and developments and devotions with their walk with the Lord, I can say sincerely, I didn't screw up as bad as to hinder them from loving God, but I sure screwed up enough to have blame for myself for every bad thing that they've ever done. But the flatline truth is the whole thing has been hard, and that any good thing that turned out of it has always been the grace of God. It's always been the grace of God. I take no, oh, you're a great father, you're a great parent. No, I'm not. God's just merciful. Anybody that has kids will tell you that. Anybody that won't admit that, they're completely, completely deceived. Not yet.
Okay.
Of course, we're not talking about bad parenting when there's drugs, pornography, physical, sexual abuse. Influence is for bad is greater, especially hypocrisy. The worst example I've ever seen in kids is the Catholic or the Jewish, or even I'm from the north, so we didn't have a whole lot of born again churches, or the Baptist or born again. That didn't walk with the Lord, but they went to church every Sunday. You know, they went to church on Sunday or synagogue on Saturday, but yet were drinking, smoking, partying, drugging, and that hypocrisy, that'll ruin your kid bad. That'll make the kid grow up and go, man, you know what? If that's what being a Christian is, I'm not interested. Here's one of the most important things, young parents, you need to learn, that your kids are not yours. They're God's. Now, why is this an important fact? Because one thing your children will bring you more than anything else is anxiety. You will learn to love them so much that it becomes a fault and a detriment. You've heard the story that when me and my wife first had Elena, and then Ashlyn, and then Arlie. We were young, and we were strong, and we were stupid. And we kind of did things kind of crazy-like. But when I had to go to prison for a year, and when I got out, and we had Josiah in 1998, I had a love for him, a fear that something was going to happen. All of a sudden, I had gotten, my heart had changed. Especially this Christianity thing. It was about that 94, 95 that I accepted Christ as my Savior, and my heart got soft. You know, I cared about things all of a sudden. And I loved that kid so much. I was afraid of everything. We were afraid he was going to, from the time he was born, he was sick the first week he was born, and then this doctor, that performed the bris. He remember that? That's horrible. He didn't do it in the hospital so he can get another $250 in his office. And then I wrote the guy a check. He wanted me to give him a check. And then while we were in the office with him naked on the table waiting for him to do it, he ran to the bank to cash it. I could tell you, the worst of it is not that. The worst is he delivered all four of our kids. It's like, if I would have bounced a check on him, you still made your freaking money. You know what I mean? And that was a test of my faith because, yeah, as a young Christian, I so badly wanted to hurt that man. I so badly, but God wants me to hurt him, honey. God really wants me to hurt. Think about other people that he won't hurt after this, honey. We're laughing, but this is a real conversation. So we got so anxiety ridden because of our love for him. We would put him on the bed, and we'd surround pillows, and we'd put pillows on the floor, and he was an active kid. And I remember one day we were in the watching TV, and he'd just gone to sleep. It was probably 1 or 2 in the morning, and all of a sudden we heard And we ran in there, and he fell off the bed, you know, and whacked his head, and because he was just, he was a scooter from time, and like, he had a black eye when he was like 8 months old. Remember when he fell and he hit the table? And it was just so, and one day I was like, I can't live like this. I can't. Now, watch this. Parents, if you know what I'm talking about right now, just so everybody could see, raise your hand, please. I want you to look around, non-parents. This is what happens. Your love turns into worship. And once you worship, it becomes an idol. Your children can become an idol to you. And here's what me and my wife did. We took this boy, and we laid him on the bed, and we said, God, you've given us this child, and now we're giving him back to you. We can't live like this anymore. We can't live in fear. If you choose to destroy his flesh, if you choose to let something happen and he should pass, he should die, his heart should stop, we should get into a car accident, he should get sick and die. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We'll see him in heaven. We shall go to him, but he shall not come back to us should this happen. And we've done that multiple times because you get frozen with anxiety for them. And you've got young parents, you got to do this. You got to put them on the bed, put them on the table, and you got to lay your hands on them, and you got to offer them up to God, and you got to say, God, this is your child, not ours. He's your responsibility, not ours. I can't live like this. I can't live in constant fear. Would you add anything to that? Every single child is an individual. And trying to raise all of them the same way is frustrating and futile. You have to give space to be spirit-led and don't get upset even when babies respond to different styles and techniques of parenting. Every one of our kids was different. We had one child we never, ever had to spank. We literally spanked her just because the Bible said to make sure you spank her. So what she was getting spankings for, we had another child all the way on the other side of the spectrum that we could beat 12 times a day, and she would do the same thing over and over again. Where literally, I started spanking myself. I started going, okay, here's the thing, kid. Since you're not going to listen, spank me. I'd give her the spoon, and I go, just spank me. And she'd be like, what are you doing? Like, I can't spank you anymore, but somebody's got to get spanked here because you did it again. This is a real thing. So I would have her spank. Now, I'm not going to spank you, Daddy. Please, please, before I shoot myself in the face. It's a real thing. And you have to be spirit-led. That's why it's so important to have a tender heart and not to let yourself get frustrated and upset. Listen, now, I'm going to make a lot of people really upset here. But please. Sorry, you are. Oh, she's got a lot of good stuff. Oh, the battery died. Yeah. Would you pass me a couple of batteries, please? Because believe me when I tell you, she's got a lot to say here. And I mean that in a good way. So I'm about to tell you guys something that is in the controversial side, but it's really important to understand. But you got to listen to the whole statement from beginning to end. Thank you, brother. Because if you don't, you're going to miss out on the spirit of this. Listen to what I say now. Take a deep breath first. This might set you off. Uh-oh. Strive, aim, and shoot for the ideal situation in life. And here it is. Mom stays home, takes care of the kids, while dad goes off to work and brings home the money, period. Not the end of the subject, but certainly the starting point. there are varying degrees of the ideal situation that still works and produces great results with wonderful, well-adjusted children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Straying from this formula is not failure, but is certainly second best. But we got to work with what we are given without forgetting what's ideal. We cannot take, people say, are you for adopting of gay parents adopting children? And I always say the same thing. Listen, I'd rather have two gay people raise a child than the state raise a child. But do I think it's ideal? No, it's not ideal. Just like a single mom is not ideal. Or grandparents raising children. It's not ideal. But listen, there's a lot of great examples of all these things turning out okay. Please stay with me. We live in a society that makes it almost impossible with our system of government, with our financial traps of credit card fraud, credit card debt, housing prices, purchasing system, consumer-driven more mentality, drilling into our heads that more is better and happy kids have lots of stuff. No joke, I know that this is bombastic rhetoric, but it's all too true. Never forget what we're always aiming for. That is ideal. Now, that doesn't mean everything else is bad. It's not a good or bad. It's a better or best. But remember that. Divorced parents still raise great kids. Single moms still raise great kids. Even single dads do. But please don't ever forget that the plan of God, what you should aim for why is this important? Listen, some of you guys are on the verge of divorce, and you have a child, and you're wondering, what do I do? Listen, I'll tell you what to do. Nothing. Unless you're being sexually, physically, I'm not talking about emotionally. Unless you're being abused or the children are in danger, you die. Forget about you. Raise the kids in a sacrificial manner as to which says, it doesn't matter whether you have sex. It doesn't matter whether you're hurt. It doesn't matter. Stay in it. Deal with it. Because the ideal situation is mom and dad raising kids. Now, it's not the only way. And everything else isn't bad, but that is the best. Are you with me? Okay, now last thing we're going to talk about here is the spanking. This is where I want to leave you with. Don't be afraid to accept help from your parents. Even the worst of parents make great grandparents, and the best make poor. But conversely, no matter what an inconvenience it is, and no matter how you may have hurt feelings, do not allow your bad parents to have influence over your kids, because the same kids that break their own toys will break yours. Did you hear what I just said there? Did you not understand me? My parents weren't great parents, but they were good grandparents. But I never let my kids go to my parents' house. You know why? Because they had a lot of crap in there I didn't want my kids to see. Now, that didn't make them bad parents, and it's caused a lot of separation. What do you mean you won't let them sleep our ass? Like, Dad, you got porno books everywhere. You and Mom are still smoking herb. We're not going to smoke while they're there. No. Well, you know, the hell with you and all this. I can't stop you from doing that. Your job as a parent is to protect your kids, but not to the point where you cause family division. Hey, come over. We'd love to have you see the kids. I'm telling you, my parents were really good grandparents. Just had to make sure we had the boundaries set, right?
Yes.
And now, you look at Faye and Richard. They're not just great parents. They're not just great grandparents. They're great great grandparents.
They're great greats.
This is a dream come true, that Faye and Richard are helping to raise their great grandchildren. And when I say helping, they don't just show up and buy toys. She watches the baby 2 to 3 times a week. This is what you aim for. This is what you strive for. This isn't come without a price. You think this woman wanted to be with me for the last 30 years? I'm not joking. Jack, we ain't easy. But this sacrifice is worth it. The sacrifices that are worth it, they bear better fruit.
Amen.
Spanking. There's, I think there was five D's or four D's. I remember four. I couldn't remember the fifth. Why would you spank a child? You ready? Before I even explain spanking, you spank them for only four reasons. One, defiance. No! Is there anything uglier than watching somebody interact with their child and their kid looks up and goes, no!
I'm not
like,
going.
Whoa. Direct disobedience. Mm-hmm. Hey, I want you to go do that. And they go do the other thing. Mm-hmm. Disrespect. Mm. You said what to your mother? Child, you out your mind. Those are the, what was the fifth one? Remember?
That's, I don't know. I think they got it. Yeah.
Defiance?
Oh, hitting. We never, they weren't allowed to hurt each other. So they got spanked for that.
Dishonesty.
Lying. Yeah, dishonesty could have been it, yeah.
I'm going to write that down.
We had our absolutes. You know, we had our non-negotiables. And the kids knew. It was direct spanking.
Now, what are the other ways? Now, baby, talk about that, the check thing.
The charts?
Charts.
Okay, so young kids, I just want to start out by saying that I believe as a mom, full-time mom, stay-at-home mom, I always say my kids are my life's work. It's all I do, pretty much. But anyway, I think life is a teaching opportunity. From the time they're born, little, you realize very, very quickly, you have a little sinner on your hands. They're born in, you know, with the sin nature. And I just really believe that every moment is a teaching opportunity, like the verse Ryan shared, that we're to train up a child in the way that they should go. It's about training and teaching and right at your knee. And anything that happens, any opportunity that comes up that they're, you know, you see a lack, you see something that needs to change, you know, it needs to be addressed right then and dealt with right then and looked at as a teaching opportunity. Kids need to know what's expected out of them. They need to know what you expect, what you need from them, what you're trying to teach them, why you're trying to teach them. They do better when they are prepared and know what's expected in any situation. I always believe that. I always prepare my children for whatever is coming and whatever I want to see in them, whatever character traits, whatever behavior issues that I would see happening. And that's, like Ryan said, all different for different kids and different personalities and their strengths and weaknesses. I just would always try to deal with that with them, with prayer, with God's help, asking for wisdom constantly. He knows their little hearts, and they are all different.
And remember the very famous statement that's most important, ladies? Wait till your father gets home.
No, I don't. That's not good.
No, that's not good.
You have to address those things with your kids, especially if you were like me and you're with them all day long. That's your job, to teach and to train them and to lead them to Christ and to teach them God's word. You know, you're raising like-minded children. You're supposed to teach them what God...
The
charts. We've used charts, and we have actually, I had Denise pull out some of our doorpost material for you parents that would like to grab that after service. But we've used behavior charts for blessing. One is blessings with good character and what you want to see. Okay.
So we have these charts, and on one side it's the list of things that they do wrong and the punishment they get. So direct disobedience will be
a SWAT,
we used to call it. Or in our house, we call it pop-out. You want to pop out? You're going to get pop-out right now. And we have them all down. Now, listen, the only ones that were pow-pows were those Ds. But you can get to I forgot. You can get to all these different things. And some of them could be 10 push-ups. Mm-hmm. Some of them could be pulling weeds. Yep. Some could be no game. You understand? But when you chart it out, guys, Parents, you're taking away the guesswork, and now you don't have to be frustrated. You don't have to wait till you get so upset to do some. Hey, you know the rules. We wrote them down. We all agreed on them. Here they are. But conversely, we also wrote down the other side. When they do good things, they get blessings for it. They helped without being told. They helped with the dishes. They took the garbage out. You get an extra treat. You get to go to the movies. You get ice cream, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's.
Chrissy, do you have a question?
Oh,
I'm glad you said that. Hold on to that, because I'm going to show you something. Cammie Joy, come here.
Uh-oh.
Watch.
This is my shy one.
Okay, so this is one of my very compliant, very obedient, hardly have to beat up kids. Come here, baby. Stand up here. Stand up here with Daddy.
With their hair.
Stand up here. So, Cammie Joy, every once in a while, and it's not often, she has to get a pop-out, right?
Yeah.
And here's how this goes down. I'm going to show you. You ready? No, stop.
She's like.
Now, you know that your daddy loves you, right? But you know that what you did is not only wrong. Are you going to cry?
No.
This is honey. No, I'm not going to spank you. No, I'm not going to spank you.
Not for real.
I'm just showing them.
Just pretend.
But if you do get spanked, and it's for a good reason, though, right? Just for an example, right?
Yes.
So this is, listen to me. The reason I brought it up here is because I want you to see how this works. This is exactly what spanking is. That whole, shut up, I told you to shut up, you don't shut up. That's not spanking. That's abuse. That's an outburst of wrath. That's waiting till they've pushed you to the point. You're over the edge now. Why are you letting yourself get that far? You're going to grow up and hate your kids. What did I just say? Yes. You know how many people I've met in my office? I hate my kid. I have to bring them to a daycare. She acts more like the people at daycare and the kids at daycare. And now I hate my own kid. This is a horrible thing, but it happens. And so when you don't let it get that far, you know what you did was wrong. And you know your daddy loves you. And the Bible says that if I don't spank you, I don't love you. Doesn't it? And I love you. So I'm going to spank you. And believe me, it's going to hurt you a lot worse than it's going to hurt me. And then what I do is I sit down on their bed. I put my leg over. I'm not going to spank you. And I go like this.
He's nervous.
And I take a spoon. I never use my hands. I want my hands to be for loving. Never. I take a spoon, which in the South, and I didn't know this until I met my wife, they call it a switch. Now you go on outside, get yourself a switch.
Mom?
You got to go pick out your own switch. That's some crappy stuff.
A wooden spoon. A wooden spoon, like a paddle.
A wooden spoon. The holes in them are great because when it has holes, it's less wind resistance. And now, my cami, I usually aim for the right below the butt cheek. Not on the butt cheek, because that doesn't hurt near enough. Right below the butt cheek, above the thigh, right below that little soft skin there. Whack! Now listen, fathers, make it hurt. And then they start crying, and then you grab them in your arms, and you go, oh, baby, I am sorry. It's okay, I love you. I love you, baby. I'm sorry, but and then usually mad at you, and they're going like this. No, baby. But listen to me now. It's over now. Punishment paid. We're not going to even talk it. We're not going to bring it up. Now, as far as the east is from the west, this is now how far away. That is the punishment. It's not. You know what you did yesterday. You know, that's when you're screwing it up, and that is spanking, Johnny. Okay, that's a great question, but let me deal with the grace, and then I'm going to deal with the time. So you know what happens now, Chrissy? After she knows, now listen to this. Wrap this in your head. Now, I just told this to Cole yesterday, and I remember this.
Is she good?
You don't? Yeah, you can go. Thank you, my love. Give her a hand.
Zip those down. Put your zipper. Okay.
You can't break the rules until the rules are first broken you. Let me say that again. Don't break the rules until the rules are first broken you. You can't teach them about grace, Chrissy, until they first know the law.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, what will happen is, especially a kid like Cammy, who's so compliant and so good, I will take her and tell her, you are getting a spanking. I will take her and I'll bring her exact same thing, and then I'll take that spoon and I'll put it down. And I'll go, today's grace. And she goes, what's that? Grace, honey, is when you don't get what you deserve. And today, I'm going to teach you that the same way that the love of Christ was poured in my life, who doesn't punish me for all my sins, today I'm not going to punish you for this. But I want you to remember this lesson, because it's not going to be often. You got to remember, by the time they're 13, 14 years old, if you haven't told them the gospel message and they don't know the duplicity of their lives and the error of their life and the depravity of their sin already, you messed up. You didn't teach them well. You know, that little hint of grace that is just like putting the little drop of red dye in the water. It starts to muddy it up. You know what I'm saying? So that's how we teach about grace in the physical perspective. But they've heard the message of the cross their whole lives, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Now, to answer Johnny's question, Johnny said, when do you stop spanking? You know, and I hope my son doesn't mind me using this as an example. I mean, his whole life he's been a PK, so he understands that. There was a time where he bowed up, you know. He was 14, 15 years old, and I was like, no, you know, I'm going to bust that butt of yours. I'm going to get in that butt. And, you know, he'd run and close the door, and I'm like, you're going to open his door. I'm too old to get spanked. You ain't too old to get spanked. But what happened was I went in that room, and he kind of like bowed up. And here's the thing. I had a relationship with my father, and my father would always say to me, boy, anytime you want, you just go ahead and throw that. I will show you what I am and who I am. Someday you're going to grow up, you're going to want to take that first swing, and you just remember you've been warned. And I promised myself, because I did. I was 17 years old one time, and I'd moved out of the house, and then I came back, and I came home drunk. It's like, you're going to tell me how to live? And I cussed my father out, and I threw a punch at him, and he stepped out of the way, and he hit me with what's called a two-piece and a biscuit. Pop, pop, pop! Boom, boom, boom. Picked me up, threw me in the bathtub, ran the water down me. I was like, oh, I hit my head in the bathtub. I was like, oh, that hurts. And I promised myself I was never, ever going to have that type of relationship with my son. Never. So when he bowed up, I put my hand on his shoulder, and he kind of pulled away, and I was like, no. It's the way it is now. I'm going to let you get away with this. You can talk to your daddy like this. And I guess about the only thing I'm going to say to you at this point is, shame on you. But know this, we're never going to have a combative relationship like that. Never. That is not the time to put him in his place and to grab him and throw him. That's the time to back up and go, I love you, son. And if you think it's okay to talk to your daddy like this or to do that, then I guess you can make that choice. Shame face on you. You understand? You understand, Johnny? There's a time where you back up and you just go, I'm not. You want to have that combative relationship with your kid like your dad had with you? That's fine. That wasn't for me. Never. Never. I will never think about punching my son in the face. Never think about scrapping with my kid. Never.
I think you covered that. But it's different for different kids, you know, and their maturity level.
Definitely.
You know, but that's why it's so important to start when they're little, you know, so that when they get to that age, I mean, there's lots of other tools, and that's could be a whole day as they get older, you know, things we've taken away and privileges that they've lost and all kinds of ways to discipline them as they get older. But I think the corporal punishment, and let me say, you know, we did not spare the rod, definitely did not, but again, to knowing each of your children's hearts and what works for one and what doesn't work for another. But when you're consistent, when you teach your children from the time they're little, what God's word says, you know, and the way that they should go, and you're consistent in that and following up with discipline age appropriately, when you know they know, like Ryan said, we had reasons for spankings and direct defiance. They know what you expect. They understand. They're at an age, they understand. You've already taught that to them. You know they know. You know your kids. You know what I mean? You know they're being defiant. And that's when you, you know, give them that kind of a discipline. And when you do that consistently, you have to spank them much less. Because when you catch that behavior and it's, hey, you know, we don't, you know, we don't do that. And you know what God's word says, you know, we don't want to have to go down that road. They know you mean business, you know, and it's just a word to them and they will
just
turn.
Just getting started. That's the hard part.
It's so much less when you're consistent. You have to go to that place so much less with them.
Another question, more important than when do you stop? When do you start?
Mm-hmm.
That's been the question.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
We've had kids that you start spanking at 18 months, and other kids you don't. Yeah, sometimes it's a hand, sometimes it's that little skin in the back of the neck in a store, and just. Now, listen, I know I've gone really long. We're going to cover more. We can do this. This is by no way comprehensive. But I'm going to ask the leadership couples to come up. That, if you have questions, especially single moms or parents that are, because here's the thing, and I know this is the hardest part, and this is the last thing I'm going to say. We could see now the kids in here that are going to cause trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You could see it now.
Yep.
And if you, and it's not too late. We've watched these tools get put in place for some parents and completely transform them literally within a year.
Absolutely.
Where you've had these kids that you're like, oh, this kid is going to be a problem. Boy, I hope you're ready for some trouble in your life. And I'm talking like lawyers, I'm talking doctors, I'm talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've seen the parents start to implement these things, and I'm telling you, we've watched a complete transformation. It's never too late to start these things, okay? So we're up here. We're going to cover more. Sorry for going late. If you have questions, please feel free to ask. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for our kids, God. We thank you so much for our relationships. I pray that those that are here that rejected the message today, God, that you soften their hearts to receive it as it's from you and not from me. Thank you so much, God, for fellowship and for brotherhood and for sisterhood. Thank you for my wife, who, God, I know she has so much more to offer than I do in this circumstance. And I burden the hearts of the sisters that are in here to I ask you to burden their hearts to get with her and to talk with her, God, and to hear the wisdom of a good wife. Bless our children, please, that all the days they might walk with you and never turn to the right nor the left. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.